something in your spirit. And you can tell what kind of life is controlling you. Now watch close. When you can see what your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you.
That's right.
By what your desires are.
Come on. Come on.
Friends, when you see people that just turn their ear to every little piece of gossip that comes along the line, something is wrong with that person. Listen, your flesh is not a garbage can to store up all kinds of filth and gossip and nonsense and trash of the devil. But we should be holy and without blame. We should have clean-minded people. When you see somebody always bending to the things of the world, always giving up church for a ball game, or giving up this for something worldly, giving up the word for something worldly, something is wrong with that person. You say, how do you know that? Their desire.
That's right.
Their desire is telling you what's controlling them from the ultimate in their soul.
That's right.
If Christ is in there, they love to go to church.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If Christ is in there, they love to feel the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I know it ain't on feelings as we heard today, but brother, I'm going to tell you something. One thing you can't do is you can't get rid of them feelings either.
Right.
You've got to live with them every day of your life. Come on now.
Amen.
Oh, we say it's not on feelings. It's not, but tell me how to beat them. Tell me how to overcome when you feel so sick you can't hardly hold your head up.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Get quiet on me now, church. All right. But it's right when we talk about, oh, it ain't on feelings, it ain't on feelings. That's right. But when this flesh goes to feeling bad, everybody in the world, you're going to tell everybody about it.
That's right.
Yeah. And you, some of you, Charles Atlas, Arnold Schwarzenegger men in here, you are the strong, you pick up the back end of a truck, but the moment you get a headache, you're the biggest baby on the face of the planet. Come on, go look at it that way. Why? Because our flesh has such a dominant influence on everything we do. That is why we must learn to ignore symptoms. That's why we must learn to override our feelings and our emotions by keeping our focus on the Word.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Good preaching.
People can say all day long, oh, well, I'm just trusting God, trusting God. It's amazing when they say that, usually they're saying it with a great big old long frown on their face too. You know what that tells you? Right there, they're not really trusting God. They're letting their flesh get the very advantage over their soul. Come on now. That's the reason why, brother. Yes, it's not on business, but we feel it. No, it's not upon what you feel in your body. Sickness is in your body. But you get sick enough, and it's going to take some real faith to overcome that which you feel on the outside. Oh, some of y'all don't want to say amen or oh me or ouch or ooch, but it's the truth anyhow. Come on now. I heard Brother Evans say it this afternoon. He said, you can stand there and say, oh, bless God, I don't need divine healing. He said, you ain't never been sick enough.
That's right.
Amen. He said, you ever get like some of these people in these wheelchairs down here where it's life and death? He said, that's when you'll punctuate that word with an amen.
Amen.
That's where we get in trouble, brother, because we're allowing the thirst of the body. Satan wants you to sit back, and the minute you start feeling bad and this, that, and the other, he starts, see, and then that control tower goes to crying out for sympathy.
That's right.
So you come to the house of God, you want everybody to know you're sick. Because you're the sickest person that's ever been sick. Nobody has ever been sick like you. Lord, I forgot my amen tape tonight, but I'm sure going to need it. That's right. But notice now, the soul then says, well, what about that flesh? Uh-huh. Yes, it's sick. Yes, it's hurting. But the soul says, but the Word says,
amen.
By His stripes I'm healed.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, it depends on what drink you get as to what's going to be the strongest at the end of the day.
Right.
If one is thirsting for sympathy and human compassion, remember, Jesus was not moved by human compassion. He was moved by the will of God. Why?
Amen.
He didn't allow His flesh to be so fed, to where that it would have the strength over his walk.
Right.
Yeah. He fed the soul.
Yeah. Good. Amen.
I'm talking about the Holy Ghost being spiritually minded.
Amen.
Well, y'all went from shouting to pouting that quick. Amen. Anyhow. Amen to God, at least. Now, notice this. He says, when you can see what your desires are, you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you. That's creating this desire that you have.
Yep. Good.
There's a certain thing that you thirst for. And it can tell you in your soul what this desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have.
Amen.
I hope that you can understand that, he says.
Amen.
When you see people that crave after the things of the world, that tells you right there whether they're spiritual minded or whether they're carnally minded.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. I can get excited over a ball game just like y'all can. I can get excited over sports, over this thing, over that thing, over that. I can get excited about all that because my flesh will pull for it just as much as your flesh will.
Right.
And if I feed the thirst of that flesh, you realize the prophet of God said, when you see somebody that's craving attention all the time, there's a spiritual sickness somewhere.
Yeah.
Come on. Thank you, man.
Come on, brother.
Always got to be singled out. Always. Well, he didn't call my name from the platform.
Yeah.
Well, I pay my tithes like everybody else, but the pastor didn't come see me personally. Carnally minded. Lord, we're going to have an altar call in Van Buren if I go on any further. Come on now, children. Don't get quiet on me. That's the reason why Satan wants to move upon that carnal side, because he knows it's an enemy against that thirst that's in the soul. That's why he wants you to pout, not shout. Because he knows if he can get you in a big old pity party that you will feed that thing and feed that thing and feed that thing.
Yes,
and the Holy Spirit can't even use a man of God, can't use music, can't use nothing to be able to convince you to get victory in your heart.
Right.
A lot of times Satan just knows the right moment to send the right people along.
Right
when you're in pity party central.
Yeah.
And he'll send them along at the right time, just like Job's comforters, you understand?
Yeah, right.
But people don't realize, friends, sometimes folks get anointed of the devil and they don't even realize they're doing it.
That's right.
You can be right in the middle of a gigantic trial, something going this way, that way, and people will call you on the telephone and it seems like it's the devil talking out of their mouth.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Could be a deacon, could be a trustee, could be a preacher, could be all kinds of people. The thing of it is, have you noticed sometimes in a church service, right when the Holy Spirit's about to do something great, a baby will start hollering and cutting up. You know why? Because the devil is so low down, he'll use something that can't help itself.
Yep.
And sometimes the bigger babies get used just as much as the little ones do.
Amen. That's right.
It's easy for people to sit back and say, well, I tell you, bless God, if I was in your shoes, what have you ever been in them?
Come on.
I'll tell you what I would do if I was you. Have you ever been me, though?
Come on.
Come on, children. If you don't know and you ain't been in my moccasins, put top lip on bottom lip for a little while. Unless you're praying for me, that is. Praise the Lord now. I'm talking about carnal mind. Don't you understand? The flesh itself craves after this kind of stuff. And people are so ignorant. Then when you see two people get together in a church and they form an alliance, if you're not careful, a lot of times they'll say, oh, I'm so glad so-and-so made a friend with so-and-so. How do you know that that ain't demons calling out one to another?
That's right.
Looking for sympathy. Looking. Listen, friendship is a gift of God, Brother Benham said.
Yep.
But when friendships become a curse
Come on.
To the entire body.
Come on
now. Yeah. Thank you, glory to God. Y'all want to have a staring contest tonight, or you want to say amen to some of these things? Now, come on now. I'm not telling you nothing that you ain't already witnessed yourself down through the years. When you see people form alliances and form friendships, and yet it doesn't prosper with the word, it doesn't benefit the body of Christ, that's not a friendship. That's devils calling out to one another.
That's right.
Doing what? Feeding one another's thirst in the carnal realm.
Yep.
And they'll get together. Maybe there's two women that's got problems with their husbands. And that'll be the thing that unites their friendship. And every time they get together, they will discuss how low down their husbands are. How good for nothing. How sorry. And they'll just feed and feed and feed. And that flesh is saying, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me. And you leave there thinking you feel refreshed. Of course you feel refreshed. You have fed the flesh.
Right.
Don't call that spiritual. It's the devil.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I don't know who that was for, but amen anyhow.
Amen.
Right. Notice now the flesh craving after these certain things. It's the same thing with some of you young people considering marriage. Sometimes a boy or a girl or something will come into your life, and in your sphere of influence, find out why that person's there.
Preach.
Yeah. Hey, if it's a pretty girl or a handsome boy, ask him a lot of questions.
Right.
I heard a secular preacher say not long ago, I thought it was the smartest thing I ever heard any man say on the face of this planet. Come, when you sit down for your first date, have a list of 800 questions that you want to ask.
Come on.
Don't just gaze in each other's eyes and say, oh, she's so pretty. Oh, he's so handsome. Find out what thirst is controlling this relationship.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Notice, oh my, Brother Man says, for instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy. Watch now. The desires that's in the body. That just doesn't mean eating and drinking. But what if a strain of temper is inside that flesh?
Right.
Then your flesh will crave for the first little argument you can get into.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, friends. I've seen people that are addicted to arguing.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I've seen people that are addicted to pornography, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, but I've seen people addicted to a fight.
Yes, right.
They live for an argument. Don't you know what that is?
Yep.
What is that? The desires of the flesh.
Right.
Now, this is what the Holy Ghost was sent to take out of us, to give us control. You may never take it out of this flesh by regening it out of the flesh. The flesh will never get over this as far as the natural birth, but there is a spiritual birth, amen, that brings control, that subjugates this flesh unto that soul and makes it come subject to the Word.
Amen.
It may never obey, but I'm going to make it obey.
Amen.
It may never want to do right, Brother Tim, but I'm going to make it do right.
Yes.
So if you don't want to go to church, shut your mouth, I'm going to church.
Amen.
You don't want to pray, shut up, I'm praying.
Yes, sir.
It may not want to do the right thing, but I will win this war.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. By the grace of God.
Yes,
how about you?
Amen.
Notice, oh my, I just love this statement. Brother M says, the spirit desires for the things that's in the soul. Have you ever just, sometime just out of nowhere, you just get so hungry for the word sometimes?
Yes.
It's like you just, it's just like something in you, like you're famished.
Right.
You sit down, you start reading the Bible, you get through a chapter, and you're not satisfied.
Right.
And you just keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Do you know what that is? That soul in there.
Yes.
You're saying, feed me.
Right.
Feed me, I'm hungry. Always obey that little pull of God.
Amen.
Don't let Tupperware parties get in the way of that.
Amen.
Don't let soccer games get in the way of that. Come on now.
Amen.
Don't let these different meetings and things around the church, don't let none of that get in the way of feeding that soul.
Amen.
Oh, but we have a vitamin so-and-so and a new drug, new herb so-and-so. If that's going to get in the way of feeding my soul, forget it.
Amen.
Oh, but it's going to help you. This will help you too.
Yeah.
I hear people say all the time, it's the greatest thing you've ever done in your life. The greatest thing I've ever done in my life is feed my soul that word of God.
Yes, sir.
There ain't no pill, ain't no Tupperware, ain't none of that that can take the place of a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost buffet. Glory to God! Well, you sit down with that word and the Holy Spirit, just feed. And I said, the Holy Ghost feeds on the word.
That's right.
Amen.
We've got to feed that soul. You'll hear that warning call out. You better go to church.
Yep.
You better pray. You better read your Bible.
Yes, sir.
And because we're still too carnally minded, we'll push that aside. And we'll go do what this flesh wants to do instead of obeying that.
Yeah,
and then at one time, we're so backslid we can barely raise our hands in church.
Come on,
well, praise the Lord, somebody. I'm preaching.
Amen.
Come on now, I'm preaching right where you're living at. Now, you know that's right. That's the reason the devil gets the best of us. Because we're not feeding that part of their soul.
Right.
Right. That's right.
Singing does not feed it.
Right. Amen.
Huh?
Right.
Self-help books will not feed that soul.
Right.
An intellectual counsel will not feed that soul. Fellowship will not feed that soul.
Right. Amen.
There's only one thing that can feed it. That's the Word.
Amen.
Amen.
The Word of God is the only thing. Jesus said, by this you shall live by every word of God.
Amen.
Oh, I love this. The Spirit desires for the things that's in the soul. And many times, didn't say these picnic one with another now. Picnic's what we had this afternoon. But this is what we're talking about in the picnic. This is a war.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm not fighting. It's because you're probably on the wrong side.
Yeah. Come on.
You say, well, the devil ain't got me. I've got the Holy Ghost. How much of this flesh are you yielding to?
Come on.
What is your desires? Because if you really got the Holy Ghost, you ought to be in this right here.
Yeah.
Come on, children. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If you're not in a fight, then tell me how in the world can you even be a Christian when the very essence of your soul is in constant warfare with this out here.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Watch carefully now. We find there what a great trouble today that too many people, here we go, try to live between these two desires.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then though she's preaching on the Holy Ghost. I am.
Right, amen.
This is what the Holy Ghost is all about right here.
Amen.
The fight of a child of God in this warfare. You cannot live between the desire between heaven and earth and ever expect to be the kind of child of God that the Lord wants you to be.
Yeah. Come on, man.
And listen to me, folks. I know I'm speaking to several older people in here, and the things of the world is a done day for you, drinking, smoking, cursing, all of that. But you can turn such your grandchildren, and you can turn your families, and you can turn your retirement, and you can turn a lot of the things in your sphere of influence into idols that God can't even deal with you because you've got so much family time out there.
Yeah.
I've seen grandmas and grandpas that absolutely worship their grandchildren. Lord, yeah, y'all forgot. I mean, you must have hit your amen quota because you done quit saying amen. Come on now. They worship their grandchildren. They'll get out in the soccer field and they'll watch Junior kick a ball and more. They'll shout, they'll jump, they'll jerk. And then they come into church and sit like an old dry stick. Won't worship, won't raise their hands, won't do nothing, but let Junior come walking in the door. They will frown at the preacher. But when that grandbaby comes through the door, you know what it is? They're telling what their real desire is all about.
Right.
And a man or woman that will put family before the Word of God, hell is too good for them.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
One of the desires, the things of the earth, the other desires, the things of heaven. Now, let's get into the meat of this and find out exactly how does a child of God beat this, what we're talking about tonight. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Now, let's find out God's way of doing things to get us deeper into this Holy Ghost. Now, we read last night where Paul said that when I preached to you, it didn't come by man's wisdom and so forth, and that all of this that came to us, it came by preaching. How can they hear except if you have a preacher? How can he preach them to be sent, called, and so forth? How beautiful are the feet them to pack glad tidings. So the preaching of the gospel is one of the most necessary elements in bringing the people the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at this, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul, not everybody, every soul.
Right.
Now there's a difference between a soul that refuses to hear the word and a soul that wants to hear the word.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
People can sympathize from the flesh even and sit under a preacher, gospel preacher, and sympathize with what that preacher says.
Yeah.
Or so Brother Brown told us in trying to do God to search that being his will. He said people will sympathize with the message, but that's just the flesh.
Yeah.
But now Paul is not addressing the flesh.
Right.
He's addressing the control tower of man.
Come on,
right. Come on, brother.
The soul.
Yes, sir.
Because the soul is the nature of the spirit.
Yes, it is.
When you get born again, you don't get a new spirit. You don't get a new body. You've got the same old body that you've always had. But the prophet of God said that you don't get a new spirit, you get a new nature.
Yes, sir.
Right. And not two natures living in at the same time, not two souls in there at the same time. Something's got to die, and something's got to live.
Amen.
If it doesn't die, then nothing can live.
Absolutely.
That's why many people in the condition they're in, because they're not dead.
Right. Yes.
And not the body, but the soul.
Amen.
Let the soul be subject unto the higher powers.
Amen.
Oh, glory. For there is no power but of God. He's got it all, brother. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Yeah.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they shall resist, they that resist shall receive to themselves what?
Damnation.
Well, what in the world kind of power is he talking about, Brother Tony?
Come on.
Well, let's read here verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil.
Yeah. Right.
Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Some people ain't. Do that which is good. And you know, you even see this trend in modern day times. Everybody's down with government, down with the man.
Come on.
They're not afraid of higher powers. That same spirit in the outside world has definitely, most definitely crept into the message of the hour.
Because
some people do not reverence God called men.
Right.
Hey, if you don't respect the gift, when I'm trying to give you advice, I say, God bless you, move on.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Yeah, come on now.
Yeah. Amen. Because God didn't set preachers here just because we're a bunch of idiots.
Come on. That's right.
Glory to God.
Come on.
Right. Watch now. Oh, I love this. He said, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Y'all believe that, don't you?
Amen. Come on.
You believe that's what I'm here for?
Amen.
I'm here to do you good.
Amen.
As long as you're doing good.
Come on.
Yeah.
You want him to preach deep? Live deep.
Yeah. Come on now.
Well, Brother Prater, preach high? Live high.
Come on now.
Well, Brother Chuck, you got there and dig in that word? Then dig in the word yourself.
Yes, sir.
Because the minister will match himself with where you're at.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Oh, you say, is that right? Watch now. But if thou do that which is evil, oh, dear God, be afraid.
Right.
Our people back home are gotten so used to me. They know that by now, 12 years out there in Manchester, and all better than 20 years being at the church in general, just preaching back and forth. First time I met Brother Frank was at Brother Carroll's. The people have gotten so used to me that they know that I'm not going to compromise with them, white, black, yellow, red, purple, rich, poor, whatever. And some of our people have adapted an endearing little statement about me. Whenever they hear me coming down on somebody and really raking them over the coals, they laugh and they poke one another and say, so-and-so's in the hot seat right now. We've been there, we're just glad we're not there. Now you say, that's cruel. He has no love. You just don't know your Bible.
That's right.
If a man will not do right, if a woman will not do right, then if that gift of God catches wind that you ain't doing right, be afraid.
Right.
Be very afraid.
Think about it. Yes, sir.
Because when he comes to that platform, he is not going to pet you. Oh, you little darlings. Sugar sticks and little red roses and little pink buddies. He's going to come to the platform and he's going to bear the sword to your goosel.
Right.
And say, what in the world is a man? Now, what is this? This is a man under the anointing of the Holy Ghost,
right,
dealing with what? Carnality.
Amen.
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 He's not dealing with the soul because the soul can't be this way.
Yeah. Right.
Once the soul is born again, it can't do evil.
That's right.
Brother Tony quoted it this morning. The seed is already in and he cannot sin because it's all but what is he dealing with? He is dealing with carnality. That's why some people cannot understand when a preacher deals with carnality. They think, we're all bride. If you're talking about the soul, that's right. But even bride in the body ain't bride in the body.
That's right. Come on. Think about that. That's right.
Y'all didn't catch that one, or you did, you just didn't want to swallow it, one or the other. You're not bride. You say, well, I'm elect. You're not in that flesh. You're not elect. That flesh is just as much sinful as the sinner walking down the street. Come on now, church.
Yes,
so the pastor, the evangelist, ever who he is, has got to deal with what? This carnal side of humanity.
Right.
Amen. It's good, bro. It's good.
That's why if your works are evil, he's coming after you.
Yep.
Preach to us, bro.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good.
For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God. He's a lollipop hander outer. What does he say? He's a revenger. Another translation says he's an avenger. Now, Hollywood today has placed out some of their favorite Marvel comic book characters. Today's is a very popular group called the Avengers. I'm sure you've all seen it in their advertisements and so forth. You realize that this bunch of mutants and devils is nothing more than just a copycat.
Yeah.
Come on, because the real avengers are ministers of the gospel.
Right. Yeah. Right. Good, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Their purpose is to avenge against evil. Well, that's exactly what I'm called to do.
Praise.
If evil shows up, I am an avenger.
Amen.
Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. The devil always copycats.
Sure.
Watch now. And out of Clark's commentary, he uses this phrase that Paul says, whosoever resisteth the power. Notice, he who sets himself in order against this order of God. They who resist, they who obstinately and for no right reason oppose the ruler. Did you notice? For no right reason. If there is a reason, call witnesses, deal with it.
That's right.
But if there's no reason, keep your mouth shut.
Come on, brother.
Uh-huh. The Bible said you're not allowed to receive an accusation against an elder except it come by two or three witnesses.
Right.
And they've got to be eyewitnesses, sworn eyewitnesses. All children, y'all getting quiet on me now.
Amen.
You know why? Because we just swallow down anything anybody tells us about any preacher in this message. Don't matter who he is or what his name is. If you hear a little something, oh, really? But if you don't have eyewitnesses on that thing, you're best to keep one lip on another. Come on now, I ain't going to play around with you. I'm telling you the truth. You're not allowed to go around and spread gossip and lies about a servant of God. You better be afraid doing such a thing.
That's right.
Amen.
Because God will take it very personally, you dealing with his avenger.
Come on now.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Right.
Notice, oppose the ruler. Strive to unsettle the Constitution. And this is what our Constitution is, the Word.
Amen.
And to bring about illegal changes.
Come on.
For example, when people will put a tape recorder in place of a preacher, that is illegal changing of the Word of God.
Right, yes. Good preaching.
Come on.
When people will have an internet pastor but won't have a real pastor,
that's, right.
That's an illegal change to the Word of God.
Amen.
When they will stay at home and try to read their Bible and figure it out for themselves, I don't need no preacher, I don't need no servant of God, that's an illegal change to the Word of God. Because this is God's program. Whether you like it or not, I like it or not, this is what God set in order.
Amen.
And we must adhere to what God said in our Constitution. Oh, hallelujah! For this Constitution is God's law, and God will abide by what He said in that Constitution.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Just because God don't deal with them right now doesn't mean that it ain't being dealt with.
That's right.
Some men's sins come open now, and some will meet them on at the judgment.
That's right.
I heard Brother Bam preaching a message today on why in 1961. And Brother Bam said, when you get to that day of judgment, he's going to ask you, why didn't you come to this spot here?
That's right.
He's not going to ask them while they're here in time. He'll wait till they get to the judgment.
Come on.
That's right.
That's what he said.
Wow. Listen to this. Oh my. They shall receive to themselves damnation, or it says condemnation. And watch, they shall be condemned both by the spirit and the letter of that Constitution. So it ain't just somebody up reading a bunch of quotes or reading a bunch of statements from the prophet of God or from the Bible. But the Spirit of God Himself will witness against that person's life by the Word and by anointed ministry that what they're doing is wrong. This is why, friends, Paul called people's names in public.
That's right.
Amen.
And folks in this message, so ignorant that they don't understand when servants of God are exposing things. They'll get mad. Oh, I ain't got no right to do that. Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yes.
He is taking the Constitution by word and by vindicated anointing.
Yeah.
And in the house of God where judgment begins, he is dealing with it as the Bible said, openly, because they won't repent.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
I want to be right with God. I don't want to ever come to that. You?
Amen.
Notice again in Weymouth from chapter 13, he says, let every individual be obedient to those who rule over him. For no one is a ruler except by God's permission. So he ain't self-appointed.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And you got preachers. I'm the boss around here. If God says you're the boss, you're the boss.
That's right.
God don't say you ain't the boss, you ain't the boss.
That's right.
Come on out, children.
That's right.
The self-appointed preachers, bless God, I'll tell you one thing. Right there, you can put a mark on that dude. He don't even have an understanding of what a minister is in the first place.
Amen. Yeah.
Because if he understands right, you're not my servant, I'm your servant.
Yeah.
If preachers get it right, all that kind of chokes you a little bit, but it's the truth.
True.
Preachers are not to be served, we are servants.
That's right.
But you say, that ain't the way I've always known it. Well, you've been wrong all these years. Change.
Amen.
You're wrong. Preachers are to serve you.
Right.
I'm not made so you can serve me and pat me on the back and do this. And I love it when you do nice things for me. I love it when you give me praise and say how much you appreciate the ministry of the Lord or something that we've done to help you. But that is not the reason I preach.
Right.
I preach because my call is to serve you.
Amen.
And everybody hang on. But the only thing standing between some of you tonight and judgment is God called preachers holding back the wrath of God because of what they're preaching to you. You know why sometimes the devil can't get to a congregation? Because he can't work it out to get that preacher to shut his mouth long enough to get to him. Woo, glory! Amen. The devil works out a scheme. The Holy Ghost opens it up. He comes to the platform, blows the thing to bits, and the devil takes his tail and sticks it back between his legs, goes right back down to hell, and says, I hate that preacher. He might as well get used to it, because we're not going to stop no matter what they say. Let it be against politics. Let the world not like it. A man of God full of the Holy Ghost is called to defend the body of Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You think it's something the devil's that you have to face. But you realize that every God-called man to a God-called area, he has to face not just the devils that he faces in his own personal walk, but he's got to face every spirit that comes in that area.
Right,
because he is the head, like in a birth, as Brother Carroll always said, the head takes the brunt of the trauma and so forth before the body is born. The head will take all the blunt, the stress, the force, the trauma and so forth that comes. The head will take it. That's the reason why that a devil will come against a preacher. Not just one, but every devil all you all fight.
Yeah.
These preachers are dealing with every single one of them.
Yeah.
That's why when we get done preaching on Sunday, on Monday we're looking for a juniper tree and we're almost cursing the day we was born.
Yeah.
You know why? Because every devil we upset is coming after us with vengeance.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all go crazy by the praise of return. Exactly right. Watch now. Oh my, he says, and present rulers have had their rank and power assigned to them by him. Therefore, the man who rebels against his ruler, listen very closely, is resisting God's will. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost now, being spiritually minded. How can you be spiritually minded if a preacher isn't balancing up this spiritual and carnal side and dealing with the word in such a way to keep you well balanced?
Yeah.
Oh, but you say it ain't on preachers. You should say as far as you know. Because I'm getting ready to read you a quote right now where Brother Mem said the only way you can serve God is as a preacher interprets the word to you.
Amen.
Preach. Well, praise the Lord. This is just a bad night for me to be a preacher. I want y'all to realize that. But I can't get out of it. I can't not be a preacher and preach at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Oh my, watch. He's resisting God's will. You say God's will is his word. Is Romans 13 not his word? He said this is God's way of dealing with the people. And these men are set in by him. And those who thus resist will bring punishment where? Upon themselves. Listen to me, friends. Of the countless tens of thousands of miles that the Lord's let me travel around the world, do you know one of the biggest impediments to Christian families are? People who are so hard-headed, most of the time men, if there's a man in that home, that are so hard-headed that they refuse to subject themselves to the local ministry in that area. And it destroys their families. They could be sitting right on the pew Sunday after Sunday, but because they get in a car as soon as they're done and disagree with everything that preacher said, it destroys their family and it places an influence in that home where that man couldn't help them no matter what he tries.
Amen.
A number of years ago when I first moved to Manchester, we had a bunch of reprobate young people that didn't want to serve God to save their life. They come running to me and the parents start saying to me, get out here and fix our young people. I said, y'all the one that broke them. I can't fix them.
Come on now.
If the parent breaks them, if the preacher's responsible, then let the preacher get right with God. But how can he get across the word to their families when you've got some man sitting there that feels like he knows more than the pastor?
Come on now.
Amen.
Yes, God, I tell you, he quoted, that was volume 4, and it was 1964. But it wasn't volume 4, it was volume 3. And it wasn't in the white book, it was in the yellow book.
Good preaching.
Some of you veterans in this message understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but
it used to be years ago, we didn't have, you know, this computer and all this stuff. It used to be the red book, the blue book, the yellow book, and the white book. Where'd you get that up? Out of the blue book. But I tell you, brother, we knew them things backwards and forwards, didn't we, Brother Prater? We could just tell you, bless God, that prophet said in the red book, and he said in the blue book, and then somebody said, no, brother, that was in the yellow book. Don't you know what it is? People won't submit themselves to God's higher powers.
Come on.
And then they wonder why their children don't want to serve the Lord, why they refuse to come to church. Come on now. Because you've got the leadership of that home that will not submit himself to a godly pastor. Well, I'm preaching anyhow, whether you like it or not.
Amen.
This is what the Holy Ghost told me to preach, Brother Tony, and this is what I'm going to preach. If it's my last convention with you, so be it. But I'm going to tell you what this prophet said and how he said it. Because I don't know about you, I want to be right with God. I don't want this kind of nonsense filtering down to where I get to thinking I know more than somebody else. A know-it-all spirit is not the Holy Ghost in a human being. It's carnal.
Amen.
And carnality is an enemy to the will of God.
Amen.
That's good.
Listen to this. Barnes says, this word ordained. Oh, when I found this today, I was going back over some of these things and just looking. I found this one today, and I tell you, just about blew me away. This word ordained denotes the ordering or the arrangement which subsists in a military company or army. If you was a part of a military force and the general said, at ease, and you stood up at attention to show defiance, or he said at attention, you went at ease to show that you were going to defy him. You know where you'd wind up? You'd end up with a dishonorable discharge, and you'd wind up in the best military prison they had on Alcatraz.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
Why? Because he's a general. He's a leader. The powers of this nation ordain that what he tells them, according to the Constitution, goes in that army. Which is where we got to be careful, friends, because we got a lot of preachers that are telling people to do things, demanding them based on the power of their position to do things that's a separate order from the Constitution. That general wants to tell the man to break the Constitution. It ain't the soldier, but it's the general that's in the wrong. His mandate, oh God, his mandate is stay with the Constitution.
All right, come on.
Stay with the general orders of the church.
Amen.
And the general orders was Mark 16. The general orders was John 14. The general orders was this word made manifest.
Amen.
Some general get up there and tell you to break that Constitution. He's not a fit general in the first place.
Right, amen.
Preachers hitting women out there trying to get them to call their husbands before they're allowed to go to the bathroom and go to shop at a Walmart. Because he's their headship. And in order to be subject to that man, they've got to ask for permission to even go to the bathroom. Hogwash.
Come on.
That ain't according to the Constitution.
Yeah, right.
As it was a number of years ago right here in this state, where a man took a young woman to live in adultery with her and had his wife under such a subjection and had her under such a headship type spirit that she's cooking breakfast for him and the woman he's committing adultery with at her kitchen table.
Yes, sir.
But she dared to go against the headship because he was, quote, the higher powers. Let me just quote it to you the way Brother Branham said it. If that man stays with the word, you stay with that man.
That's right.
Yeah.
That man leaves the word, you leave that man.
Amen.
Because he's only a fit general if he stays with the Constitution.
Amen.
Right here's our
yes,
Constitution.
Sir. Amen.
This was Brother Branham's Constitution too, friends. Everything he preached to us come right out of here. Preachers are not supposed to be dictators. We're not supposed to be some kind of lord over the house of God. We're supposed to be servants. Oh God, is anybody hearing me tonight? We're supposed to be servants, calling the people out of carnality and into the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right,
man.
My job as a preacher is to create an atmosphere that you can be born in.
Amen. That's right.
That you can be helped in, that you can be encouraged in.
Right.
And as a minister, if we come to the platform and we have no zeal, have no enthusiasm, we're dead as a stick ourselves, what do we expect the people to come to?
Yeah, come on now. That's right. Exactly.
I'm a firm believer that before you preach, you should have something to say.
Yeah.
And it should, as Brother Carroll was told many years ago when he was a boy preacher starting out. A certain Pentecostal preacher said, if it don't enthuse you, it ain't going to enthuse the people that you're preaching to.
That's right.
I tell you what, a lot of the problem is we got a lot of men behind this sacred desk back here that they've lost their feeling for the people. Right. They've lost their feeling for the message. Nothing excites them anymore. Nothing gives them joy. They just walk up, well, God bless you, church. I hope y'all just come here. Maybe somehow the Lord will just give us a little blessing somewhere down the way. The worst thing in the world is for a song leader to start out a service saying, well, it's rainy and cold outside. Yeah, you just depressed about three quarters of the congregation too. You know why? Because they don't lead the people into the atmosphere. My job is to lead you into such an atmosphere that if your mind is broken with depression, if your spirit is mangled with all sorts of scars and this and that, I am God called to break through them devils and fight through them spirits to grab a hold of your soul and usher you into the presence of God. That's why when you see preachers not willing to even sweat behind the pulpit, bless their hearts. I see men, they're so lazy, friends. A little trickle of sweat start coming down, they'll stop. Get them a drink of water. And you wonder why the churches are in the condition they are. It's because we don't have enough men that are willing to fight for the sake of the people.
Amen.
That's right.
My job isn't to make you believe what I say. My job is to preach it in such a way that you see Jesus Christ in it so much.
Amen.
That your soul can't help but believe.
Amen.
That's God.
Amen.
I'm not here to force you to see what I say and to understand the way I say it. I am here to create such an atmosphere, glory to God, that while I'm saying it, your soul is going, that's right, that's right, that's right.
Right.
Oh, we've gotten to such a place around this message, we try to force feed to people. Such a thing is not of God. You remember in the name of the Lord, it's not of God at all.
That's right.
When you're out on the street witnessing this message, you don't have to force feed it to seed.
That's right.
Just present the word to them, and you'll find out if there's something in it, Brother Tony.
Yes, sir.
Their soul will grab a hold of it. Brother Freddie, they'll say, amen. That's right.
Amen.
You don't have to beat them over the head with quotes.
That's right.
Just tell them about what God's done for you, how your candle got lit.
Amen.
And if you got the right kind of experience, it'll set them on fire.
Amen. Yeah.
Woo, glory! That's what we need, is to get lit back up.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Our fire has gone out. We've gotten smoky lamps, but oh, let's get on fire again tonight.
Amen.
Don't you understand? When you hear me up here, come on, somebody, come. I'm not wanting to hear you shout and scream and holler, amen. I want you to create an atmosphere.
Amen.
An atmosphere.
That's it.
God sets them in order. Listen to this. Assigns them to their location. Many years ago, I guess when he was in Dyersburg, Brother Prater probably thought, well, the thing was coming to an end and he had to make another decision in his life. Comes out here to Oklahoma, starts in Kyoto, moves to Pecola, winds up over in Fort Smith. I imagine for many years of his life, he's probably wondering what in the world is going on. But you know what happened? God knows how to assign a man to a certain area. He knows how to put a man in a certain place. I imagine when Brother Tim took that little church out there in Noel, he probably wondered, how in the world did I end up in Noel, Missouri? But God knows how to assign a man in his right position. I'm sure Brother Tony and these other brothers, as they went through their journeys of life, me myself, coming from the state of Ohio, my whole family was a bunch of Southerners, and the only thing I knew about Southerners is that they were ignorant drunks. I didn't know that there was actually good-hearted Southern people. I'd never met any. I don't even know my family, which is a bunch of ignorant drunks. When I went to Tennessee, I told God, why in the world did you send me here? God knows how to assign us to where we need to be assigned. There's many a soldier that goes to places they don't want to go. But the boss, amen, the chief, sends him and assigns him to the post he wants him to be.
Yes, sir.
He changes and directs them as he pleases. So if God says, all right, Ben Noron, I'm tired of you evangelizing here in this United States. I want you to become a missionary And I want you to go to Africa and preach to pygmies for the next 25 years. I may not like pygmies and pygmies may not like me, but if the boss reassigns me, I'm headed to the pygmies. And somehow or another, I'll have Brother Prater a pygmy message. Oh, glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some way or another, I may not like it. My flesh may revolt against it, but somehow I'll have a message to help them pygmies.
Amen. That's right.
Because God knows how to assign a man to do something.
Amen.
On some of these missionary trips, I'm getting ready to go back to Africa this December. And I'm going to preach to some of them saints in Ghana and Togo. By the help of the Lord, as I was out there preaching to some of them Africans, I always felt like I was the hand in the glove out there.
Yes, sir.
Fit just as beautifully. Brother Prater, just as sweet as I could possibly fit. I went to France and felt like I was the odd man out the whole time I was there. Hated it. Hated France. Hated the people. Didn't like Frenchmen. Frenchmen didn't like me. Come on now. Hated everything about it. But I had more successful meetings in France than I did anywhere else. More conversions, more things happened, more healings, and what more took place in France than in Belgium and in England. You know why? Because God knows how to assign us to be where we want to be.
Yes.
What about you, Mama? What about you, Grandpa? What about you, schoolboy, schoolgirl? What about you, song leader, a musician? A Holy Ghost knows! Why did you pick up a guitar, Brother Tim, and set the piano? Because God knows what to put in your hands.
Amen.
He knows what you'll bless the best by. Notice in the Montgomery New Testament, picking this up on chapter 13. Can I go a bit further?
Amen.
Thank you. I hope y'all ain't no hurry because I'm going to be kind of long-winded tonight if I can't.
Sure.
All
right.
Notice the Christian obligations to state, if you will, the duties of the Christian citizens. He says here in the Montgomery New Testament, everyone should be in the higher authorities. For there is no authority apart from God. The authorities that now exist have been appointed by God. Therefore, the man who rebels against authority is opposing the divine ordinances. I don't mind telling you, this is pretty serious, friends. And those who withstand will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are no terror to good deeds, but to evil. Would you be fearless of the ruler's authority? Do what is good, and you will have his praise. Goody, goody, goody. You want a preacher to praise you, call you bride, call you elect, talk about how the rapture's for you, then you've got to live in such a way that he's going to talk about you in such a way.
Amen.
I hate to tell you, if my wife ain't acting like she ought to act, I ain't going to get out here in the public and start talking about what a sweetheart and a doll she is if she's acting like a hell's angel at home.
Yeah. Come on now.
Come on now. If my kids are brats and they won't mind and they're rip-roaring, tearing everything to pieces, I'm not going to get out there and brag about how good my children are. I'm going to say, somebody pray for me. Somebody that's got the Spirit of God. Somebody that can get a hold of Jesus. And yet you expect a preacher to come to the platform. If you came home, brothers, and every time you walked in your front door, your wife smacked you straight in the mouth. I mean, she did not pass go, did not collect $200, didn't even give you a chance to even take the doorknob loose from your hand. And the minute she saw the white of your eyeballs, she slapped you right in the mouth. How many of you would be back up? I just want to give a testimony for the glory of God in Jesus' name. I got the sweetest little desert flower at home you've ever seen in your life. She's as tender as a She's as sweet as she can be. She's as tender as filet mignon. And everybody in the church looking at that great big old handprint on the side of your face will know you're lying through your teeth too.
Come on now.
Come on now, children. Why? Because your behavior will be suitable of the praise. Well, my youngins, and I've got good kids. My wife is a doll. My wife, Samantha, is one of the greatest women I've ever met in my life. She just had to put up with a very bad person, I guess. She's a doll. My kids are absolute angels. I love the way God has given such a tender spirit to be obedient. That don't mean I don't whip them. But I tell them all the time, act right, and Daddy will give you praise and will bless you. I'll bless you all the days of your life.
Yeah.
You act like a heathen, I'm going to treat you like a heathen.
Yeah. That's right, brother.
Oh. Amen.
Amen.
That's why we're scared to death to whip them little angels, aren't we? Oh, but I wouldn't want to hurt them. You're ignorant just as long as the day is.
That's right.
The Bible said, beat them, they won't die.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Don't we expect a man of God to get in the platform? Now, would you get up there and say what a doll she is? And yet, when you're not living right, when you sit around watching movies 24 hours of the day, or you don't come to church, you don't pay your tithes, you got bitterness in your heart, you ignore the preacher, you fall asleep in church, on and on and on, and you want him to come up here and say, my little angels, you are rapture-ready people. You are going in the holy celestial gates of heaven. And I tell you that the Holy Ghost is here. And he's so proud of you. He's going to come to the platform. And because your deeds are evil, he's going to pull the sword and deal with you appropriately.
Amen. That's right.
Glory, glory. Mm.
Amen.
Shall we go on?
Amen.
Spoken words, original seed. Everybody hang on real, real, real top, real tight. So you say, what does it matter then, Brother Ben, if a servant of God preaches me or not when it comes to the Holy Ghost? Well, let's find out. Paragraph 384. Jesus said, he that receives them that I send receives me. And now them that he sent, and them that receives me receives him that sent me. Wish we had time to linger on that. You can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends.
Oh, man.
Oh. Hmm. You can only serve God on earth as God's servants that sent on earth by, listen, divine inspiration. Now we're getting somewhere. Yep. Interprets the word to you.
Amen.
So you want the Holy Ghost, do you? You want it?
Amen. Amen.
Then this is how you get it.
Amen.
But you say, I don't need no preacher to get the Holy Ghost. You just don't know your Bible.
Yeah. Right. Preach on.
But you say, I got it in the middle of a cornfield. I got it out there riding down the road. But who preached it to you that got you in the spot where he's at? Somewhere you heard preaching somewhere.
Amen.
Either a preacher said something that your grandmama told you, or you read a sticker that a preacher inspired somebody to put a sticker out there that said St. John 3:16. Somewhere it all began from some ignorant, dumb, stupid old preacher. Amen.
Amen.
That's how you got to where you got. And the people said, but I want the Holy Ghost. Are you willing to let a servant of God interpret the word by divine inspiration to you? Because if you're not, you don't want the Holy Ghost. Don't tell a lie. Don't tell a lie. Don't tell a lie. Don't be telling something that ain't true. If you're not willing to let a man of God interpret by divine inspiration the constitution of this late hour, then no matter what you say, you do not want the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because this is how you get it.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we all went quiet as the steel trap went.
I've seen that man a lot.
It's the truth anyhow.
Amen.
You must be born again. 12:31-61. Got your seatbelt buckle?
Amen.
False teachers will bring false births. So now you tell me how important is a preacher after all.
Amen.
Right preaching will do what? A true prophet will bring the word, the birth of the word of Christ, he said. But a false teacher will produce a false birth. So even on this other side with this carnal group, church formal, they are being birthed. Truly, they're going through a birth. But they're being birthed by what? False preachers. Some of y'all don't know what to say right now. That's okay. Just relax. Just relax. Take it easy. Don't get yourself all in a strain now, because I'd hate to have to take a break for you to get a heart pill or to check your blood sugar or something like that. I don't think we have any blood pressure cuffs available, do we, Brother Tony, anywhere in the back? I might want to consider keeping some around. But Brother Ben, does this matter? This is God's divine ordinance. This is his program by which he brings the Holy Ghost to the people. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Let's look now as we look at Philip here. As we quoted to him last night, let's just read a little bit of his life and what happened between him and this unit. Notice he said, then the Spirit said unto Philip. Now notice it was not Philip taking upon himself to do certain things. The Spirit is leading this man. the head boss, as we'd say. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And the eunuch said, bless God, I don't even need you around here. You sit down, let me tell you what it says. If he would have had that kind of attitude, Philip would have been translated a whole lot quicker than what he was. Because the Spirit of God, first of all, ain't going to send this man to somebody who's got that kind of attitude in the first place. Woo, come on now. He ain't going to send this little preacher down there to a man that ain't going to receive that word. The very fact that the Spirit caught him is because he knew that this eunuch had something that would receive God's servant. That's why this man comes by and begins preaching to him. Understand what you read. Listen what he says. Oh, would to God that a third of the message people that are in this return ministry and tapes only and all that junk, I wish they had this man's attitude right here. And some of the people that sit under church pastors and so forth and got that same old attitude in the first place, I wish to God they'd get converted and have a better attitude like the man that God said to them. They want to pray, want him to pray for them when they're sick and bury them when they die and all this sort of thing, but they don't want to listen to what he preaches. You're a hypocrite. You want him just to bless you just because you want favor out of him, but you won't listen at him when he's avenging. You're a hypocrite. Now, I'm sorry, that may be you, it may not be you. If the shoe fits, wear it and repent.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Amen. If you want a man to be good to you, oh, I want that pastor to pray for me and bring me up out of disease. But then he sits you down and starts talking about your Netflix addiction.
Come on.
And your addiction to this and your addiction to that. And how you won't say amen in church. And how you won't worship the Lord. And how you're as dead as a Presbyterian. And you get mad at him.
Bless God. I'm not an emotional person.
Aren't you then?
Come on now.
You get awful emotional whenever he digs in your tater patch. Come on now, children. The reason you're not emotional in church is because you're living after the love of pleasure, not the love of God. If your favorite ball team was out there, you'd be screaming to the top of your lungs. If your favorite singer was out there, you'd be sitting on the edge of your seat. It ought to be that way, friends, for Jesus in our soul. We ought to have such a love for him that we create an atmosphere of worship. I sit around and stare like a bunch of people. I hope I just get through tonight's service. Well, bless your heart, just go on home. Take your time, go on home. Stop by Dairy Queen, get you a blizzard. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me?
Amen. Come on.
What an attitude. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what I want, don't you, friends?
Amen.
I want to be like this guy right here. Now we know the rest of the story. If you skip down here to verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him the authority of a servant of God. You leave my church, you're going to hell. What did he preach to him?
Jesus.
Help me.
Jesus.
You know why? Because that's the constitutional order
that's right.
Of this divine body is to preach Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Not to preach William Branham. Not to preach some man's authority. But to preach the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, he's the only one that's going to get us out of this mess anyhow. He's the one that heals us. He's the one that saves us. He has the resurrection and life for this bride. I don't want to be guilty of preaching nothing but preaching him to the people.
Amen.
That's
right. Friends, I don't mean to hurt, but we have done so much harm around this message. By forcing doctrines down the necks of people that people do not even have a relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Yep.
I heard Brother Ben say today, like to broke my heart, Brother Frank. He said, there's a woman down here at the altar. He said, there she is nursing her baby. He said, see, if somebody was to come in tonight and say, I'll kill this woman and her baby. He said, either one, which one? Do you think would stand and have their life taken first? He said, well, that's the way it is with Jesus. He said, listen. He said, that baby is hers. It laid under her heart for 9 months. And it's hers. He said, why don't you here at this altar Why don't you just lay under his heart for a while?
Oh, my.
Lord God.
Oh, yes.
Lord Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Don't you understand? That's the way Almighty God wants this gospel to be presented to you and I. Not as a judgment, not as a duty, not as being bound to legalism, but he wants us to lay under his heart so that he can care for us and love us. My precious brother, may I say, as a part of you tonight, as a member of this body of Christ, these ministers, if we're not creating that kind of atmosphere for the people, then we need to get back to what is real and what is true.
Amen. Amen.
Because our only mission is to create such a desire that the people will fall in love with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's why we take our doctrines and our scriptures and place them out there to show more of what he is. So as you reveal more of him, they'll fall in love with him that much more. We preach such a judgmental God. Such a hateful God.
Come on, bro.
The people are scared to death that at any moment he's going to throw them in hell. And all he wants is for that baby to lay underneath his heart so he can care for it. Spoken words you received, Brother Abraham said, Philip had been up to Pentecost, Jerusalem, to worship. How many says amen to that?
Amen.
The eunuch, he had been with all those DDs, LDs, and everything. But why didn't he get something? Come back down studying the prophecy of Isaiah. Now watch. He's got the prophet's books in his hands.
Right.
Is it any different than us holding a prophet of God's book in our hand? We can study and study and study. But God has a divine ordinance.
That's right. Amen.
He has a way to bring this word to get it over to the body. Watch now. Paragraph 430. Or 403 rather. Brother Bram says, although an angel directed Philip, but the germ of life had to come through the body or Philip.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, old brother, now we're on the line. Hallelujah. Why is this man important? Because he is carrying the germ life inside his heart.
Amen.
Do you want the Holy Ghost? Then the germ has to move through the body.
Yeah, right.
I realize you've got a seed already in your soul, but remember, this germatizing life that comes from the body is not the predestinated gene placed inside your soul. As he tells us, think of Mansfield, there was a seed down inside of your soul that was placed there when you take the breath of life. That germ is there at the moment that you're crawling on the floor as a baby.
Yeah.
But this germ of life that he's speaking of is the quickening power.
Right.
That awakes that which is already on the inside.
Amen. Yes, that's right. Amen.
And that only comes through a preacher.
Right.
It says, where did the germ come from? Through an angel? The angel showed him where to go. An angel is a messenger. But here is a son. Now come on, don't die on me. But what has more authority? An angel in heaven or a preacher in the pulpit?
Right.
Brother Brown tells us in the Hebrews series, he said a preacher in the pulpit's got more authority than an angel in heaven. My Lord! He's got more authority standing in the platform. A son of God on the earth full of the Holy Ghost, a daughter full of the Holy Ghost has more authority on earth than an angel does in heaven.
Yeah. Come on.
Philip had the germ, the message, the word.
Dude.
Oh, and watch what he says. That's how a child can be born.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? We don't hear this when we hear this preached in the message much.
Yeah.
Come on.
We hear you want to get the Holy Ghost? Come to an altar. Get up here and beat and cry and holler. Am I against that? You better believe I'm not against it. Am I against prayer lines? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, when you look at what Paul says there in Hebrews 6, he says, laying on the hands, all these things, move on. But he said, this will we do if God permit.
Right.
We shouldn't put our emphasis on prayer lines and laying on the hands and altar calls, but if God leads you to do it,
amen.
That's a different story.
Right. Yes,
if God permits you to move from here to there, to go lay your hands on somebody, if God permits it, then you do it.
Amen.
We've got to be careful, children. If we're going to be willing to do away with certain things that Paul talked about in Hebrews 6, we should be willing to do away with all of it, which means baptisms, resurrection, praise the Lord.
Right.
Well, glory to God.
Amen.
It's truth. That's how a child can be born. Philip! Oh, dear God. No! He laid his hands on him.
Amen.
Why does this matter? Because that's the way God does things.
Yeah.
Sometimes he casts a shadow. Sometimes he speaks the word. Sometimes he lays hands on people. But it is all at the bidding of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
If we're going to be mature, let's be mature this way. Let's not be mature in action. Let's not grow up in action. Let's grow up in this way. That when God directs you to do something, do that which God directs you.
That's right.
Let's not subjugate God to do it our way, Brother Tony, or this one's way, or that one's way. We can only do this, 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 this. Hogwash. God does what He wants to do. Amen. If God wants to create squirrels, God creates squirrels.
Amen.
He don't need a scripture that says He can do it. God just does it.
Because
the Holy Ghost is in charge of everything we do.
Amen.
Oh, but I want to become mature. I want to become mature. You become mature, friends, by learning to let go and let God have the final say in every move you make. That's
Amen.
How you get there.
That's right.
It's not the actions or positions of our body that render us maturity. It is our subjection to the Word of God.
That's
right.
Amen.
Say amen or not. It's the truth anyhow.
Amen.
Right. Watch this now. He said he laid his hands on him. Philip baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. And there come forth the Spirit of God. Now the germ had to come from the body. What body? Oh, listen to this. Christ's body. And Philip was a member of the body. Notice in Spoken Word Church You'll See, paragraph 150. I'm almost done. Don't get too nervous. Only got about three more pages.
Good.
Woo, glory to God. You can't be a seed and disagree with the Word.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Amen. I'll wait on y'all. I'll just give you time to let that soak.
It's good, man.
Now, if you are a seed of God, you cannot disagree with the Word.
That's right.
Amen.
So that means if a preacher's preaching to you the Word and you're sitting there tearing him to pieces,
come on now.
You know what that tells me? You're not a seed.
Right. Amen.
You can say amen there. It's okay. That was true. That's what we call truth up here. Now, friends, I'm not singling you out specifically, per se. But if your heart, if the whole time the man of God is reading you quotes and scriptures and the Spirit of God is bearing witness that what he is saying is the truth, not because we push our agendas and push what we think and align our quotes in a certain way or scripture. Listen, a preacher has the authority if he's God called, or if he's just a good orator, he's got a lot of maybe a strong human spirit. He can align statements in a certain way to absolutely pressure you into saying amen.
Yeah. Right.
And I want you to know, as a minister of the gospel, I don't want to use one quote or one scripture to scare somebody into believing this truth or frighten them with hell. You're going to go to hell. I don't want to be that kind of preacher. If I can't bring the Word in such a way to where it stimulates your heart to say, oh God, I need to be right, then what good is it going to do if I beat you in the head and force you to believe it? Friends, don't you realize that's where the Pentecostals, the Methodists, Baptists, all of them went wrong. When Brother Branham was on the earth, they were trying to force people into something. You've got to be a Baptist or you'll go to hell. Brother Bam said, my name's not on that stock book. He said, my name's on the book in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you understand that forceful? You've got to speak in tongues. You've got to prophesy. That's where we are today. People trying to subjugate the minds. That is not what God called men are supposed to do.
Amen.
We're not called of God to use our authority or our abilities to lord ourselves over. But we come with such a submission to the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
That you can tell, as I've said to you here before, and tried to sow this into your hearts, that a good gospel leader is not a leader in himself. A good gospel leader is a good follower.
That's right.
He knows how to follow the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I have learned in my 25 years that if I will learn to follow Him and show the people that I am obeying the Spirit of God, that I don't have to fight them or pump them or prime them. They will see that I am following Him and they will catch inspiration and follow right along.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But look at today what we have. We have such a forceful. You better believe God sent a prophet or you're going to hell. Is this how Philip approached it? Is this how these? Is this how we're supposed to approach this message? No. No. I created an atmosphere.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Create an atmosphere that that germ of the day can just pass from one to another,
right,
to another, to another. Listen, Brother Adam said, because the Word is the seed, and if you are the Word, how can you disagree with it?
Amen. Amen.
I love this next remark. You'd be disagreeing with yourself.
Oh,
glory! Yeah. That's why I can't disagree with the Word, because I don't want to disagree with me. I'm the Word. Oh, glory! That's why the Word must come in the right season and the right action, because if it is the Word, it will be yea and amen.
That's right.
Yea and amen. I have seen people at camps, banquets, special meetings just like this try to so force the people to do something. Don't you realize that's not what these men of God are for?
Amen.
We're not lords.
Right.
We're not dictators, Brother Tony. Our job is not to get up here and tell you scary stories and count backwards from 10. You better get in this altar before I get done with 10 or you'll go to hell. He's not a lord. He's a follower.
Amen.
He's a follower.
That's right.
And as he sees the Spirit of God move, he follows after it.
Amen.
The people behind him know he's following the right thing. And I said, we better get there.
Yeah.
We better move there.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Bam said, you'd be disagreeing with yourself. You'd be defeating your own purpose. Let's go back to 2 John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. I want you to watch here now in 12 and 13 how that the Lord Jesus again tells us what the Spirit of God is supposed to do. Now, in light of what I preached to you tonight, I'm hoping that this will align the scripture a little bit better for you. Notice in verse 12, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Yes, sir.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now let's show him, sister, what the meaning of this word guide is. It is hadagio, which is to lead on one's way, to guide, be a guide or a teacher, to give guidance unto. Now watch what Adam Clark says about the scripture. He says, he will consider your feeble infant state. Watch this now. As a father leads his child by the hand, so the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you.
Yeah.
Now is that a dictator? Does that beat you in the head and make you believe it? But he sees you as a child. That's why I call
Amen.
You children. Because the Bible said we are his children.
Amen.
He doesn't just get down. You better believe this, you dumb, stupid baby. You better be. And he says, come here.
Yeah.
Come here, little darling. Come here. Let daddy have you by the hand.
Amen.
He That's leads. Right. Gently. You'll stumble. You'll wobble. You'll do all sorts of things. But daddy's got you by the hand.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Don't worry about where your feet may go. He will guide your affairs with discretion. He will hold you by the hand.
Amen.
Oh, but Brother Ben, I'm afraid that some preacher's going to get up there and cast me off into hell. If that man is being led by God, he will be like this gospel father.
Amen.
He will guide you as a daddy does with his hand and lead you along. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. Did you get it? He said when he comes, he'll speak that which he hears. Listen to what Paul's saying. Paul is showing the fulfillment of St. John 16. If so that ye have heard him. That's what Jesus said. The Spirit of God would hear and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So how did you get to this spot in verses 22, 23, 24? How did you get there? Because somebody preached him to you, and you heard, and you were taught.
Amen.
You understand 1962, Brother Bamber said the bride is to be delivered of a word birth according to Malachi 4.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why you couldn't have remained in a Pentecostal age and expected to have a word birth of this day.
Right.
I don't doubt that you didn't get saved. I don't doubt that you didn't have the Holy Ghost on your spirit. But once the Spirit of God moved on your heart, He was obligated to lead you into greater truth.
Amen.
Because if it wasn't leading you into greater truth, then it wasn't the Spirit of God on you. That's all. Yeah. Period. Because if it is the Spirit of God, He will do what? He will lead you to put on a new man.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. That's what a preacher's supposed to do. Preach it in such a way that you hear and are taught and you put on a new man.
Amen.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible.
Yes, sir.
By the word of God.
Yes.
Which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God is how you're born.
Yep.
And how does that germ come? Through the body.
Amen. That's good.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, 27. Let me give you a taste of what we're going to look at in the morning. We're going to quit right here. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. Now, this is not the Holy Ghost now. This is a new spirit.
Right.
I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you,
yes, sir,
and cause you to walk in statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them.
Amen.
Amen.
So how's He going to cause us to walk in the statutes? He's going to have somebody that's going to keep us in line with the constitution of the hour.
Amen.
Amen.
Friends, do you understand? When preachers are trying to take the role of leading us of what they call maturity. Friends, I heard people all over the country, all over the world preach about coming to maturity. And their idea of coming to maturity around the world, I don't mean just in this local little body, I mean around the world. Their idea of coming to maturity is getting to a spot to where they're in control of everything that moves. You've got the wrong idea of maturity.
Amen.
Amen.
Maturity is not when you become a possessor and a master of every move you make. It is when you learn how to so let go,
yeah,
that the Holy Spirit, you become so weak,
yeah,
that the Spirit of God can use you and lead you and deal with you and guide you. Do you understand? People that are strong within themselves, that person is not a very mature person.
Amen.
That's right.
The most mature people you'll ever lay your eyes on are people that are just so weak and puny, they can't hardly even make a decision without praying about it first. Mm-hmm. To us, that's pitiful. Use your brain, man. Figure it out. But he's got to a place, she's got to a place where she's so dependent on the Spirit of God,
yeah,
to where she don't even go buy a package of eggs unless the Holy Ghost tells her, it's okay, go ahead, go ahead. And you say, but that's ridiculous. No, it's not. When we come to the spot to where we realize that we are being led by His hand, and that's how sons are born. For they that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
How can you be led and be a son if you're not willing to be led? If we don't become sheep, if we don't become so tender that when the word is being preached, like the brother this morning, when he was bringing to us all these great things about moving on past traditions and moving on past all these ideas, I agree with that. We get to such a spot to where we think that if a man lays hands on us, that settles it. No! Our faith is not in that man laying hands on us. Our faith is in the fact that there was a germ in that man. And there was life in that man. And if he laid his hands on us, or he spoke the word over us, or his shadow cast over us, or whatever he done, we had confidence that Almighty God was in the picture. That's where people get so confused when it comes to these things. Why do we have altar calls? Why do we lay hands? Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we come to church? Why do we sing? Why do we worship? Why do we baptize? Why do we do it? Because we're trying to get ourselves in an atmosphere that God can have total preeminence of every move that we make. I was at a church not long ago, piggybacking a little bit of what Brother Claude said this morning. Brother by the name of Bill Yonce. I don't know if you know Brother Bill. You probably know Brother Yonce. He's a fine brother.
Yes, he is.
Had a real bad situation. No, just a little while back, he had a bad stroke and so forth, like to kill him. First time I preached for Brother Bill, I never will forget, it was a Sunday evening to come by the church. And I've been preaching in another church there close by. And the brother had opened up his doors, asked me to come by and preach for him. And he had come to this spot. He was trying to teach his church to get away from laying on the hands and to stay with the spoken word. I loved how he done this. Whenever he'd have the people come up, he would have them stand at the altar. And he told me, he said, "Brother Ben, now we don't lay hands on folks no more around here." He said, "We speak the word of God." And he stood right there in front of that person. Now, I'll admit to you, it was odd for me not to put my hands on, like you heard the brother say this morning. As an evangelist, that's exactly what I do. I lay hands on folks and so forth. That's what they want. You go to different places, you really don't know what people believe and so forth like that. So, they want prayer, I pray for them. But as the brother would begin to pray for these people, Brother Bill would begin to bow his head and pray. Because they were so taught to receive God just in that manner, I watched the Holy Ghost do thing after thing after thing after thing. Because when they came up, they knew exactly what to expect. They knew exactly that God would move for them. And I'm going to tell you, it was one of the most wonderful experiences I'd ever seen in my life. But do you understand, my friends, that it's got to be taught to the people. We've got to be taught how to come into these things in the right way.
Amen.
I tire of ministry that come to the platform. And this has been a hard week on ministry, weekend on ministry. Looks like that's all that God's been dealing with is us preachers. But it's for your benefit as well.
Amen.
But I tire of ministry that just come up to the platform and just so beat the people down, expecting them to understand things that they understand. That's not the way Jesus done it.
No.
When Jesus lowered himself, do you think when them Pharisees were standing there looking him in the face, that he couldn't have taken the doctrine that he knew and tore them such pieces that they couldn't have been able to speak? But the Bible said he opened not his mouth.
Right,
why? Because there was a greater vindication laying up the road for him.
Yeah.
He didn't have to clown or prove himself to anybody. All he had to do was stand there and let the Holy Ghost vindicate who he was. But what did he do? He lowered himself. And he got so low that he talked the common people's talk. That's what we've got to do, brothers. We've got to so lower ourselves down to where the people are at and preach down to where they are.
Right.
And I know we tire of having to deal with this and deal with that and deal with the other. But just remember, they're like little children that Daddy Jesus is leading by the hand. And if we're not careful, we'll so blast at that child. We'll knock them plumb off their feet. We've got to be careful.
Yeah.
Feed them. Teach them. Instruct them. And then after you really give them a solid foundation and they don't obey it then go get them. I tell my children over and over and over and over and over again, Daddy's going to say it this many times. After you know it, after you've learned it, after you know what my will is, I'll say it this many times and then you're going to get it. And you know what? It's a wonderful philosophy. I've got a 5-year-old little girl. And that, well, she's 6 years old now, May. And that 6-year-old Annalise, she's my mini-me, my twin. As they call her, your mini-me. I don't know what that means, but that's what they call her. And this little girl, she's as wild as an old Cherokee Indian. Our people in Lakota Sioux, anyways, is probably where she gets all that wildness. She's up the walls and here and there. She's not a bad kid. She just moves around a lot. And she at 6 years old can quote to the girls at our church, "I better not do that." And they say, "Why?" "Because Daddy will tell me once and then whammo." But you know what I marvel at? That little 6-year-old girl can stand there and tell teenagers, explain to them why she's not allowed to do it. You know why? Because I've invested time to get down on her level. And teach it to her so that it becomes a part of her.
Amen.
That's what God wants these people to be.
That's right.
Amen. To come down to such a level to train it, teach it into them until it just starts becoming a part of them.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for being so patient with me tonight.
That's good, preacher.
I know I've been lengthy, but you've been such a wonderful audience to preach to. May God bless your hearts. Because I realize there are many of you sitting here tonight that you want God more than anything else you can think of. And I believe that's one reason the Lord led me to preach this way.
Yes.
To help you understand if you want more of God, there's a way for God to give it to you.
Amen.
That's why when you come to these churches, you sit down, Brother Prater, Brother Tim, Brother Tony, you should get in there. If it's Brother Daniel preaching, Brother Tim preaching, or whoever it might be, you just pull and pull and pull. pull and pull. Because now you know this. Now you're without excuse. You come to church and not say amen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
That was your cue. You missed it 100 miles from Sunday. Oh God, let me be the kind of preacher to where that I don't preach above the people,
right,
or lord myself over them.
Amen.
But that I can so become a part of them.
Yes.
That my life will influence them to fall in love with this man that I
Amen.
Love with.
Help us, Lord.
He's a man that I love with all my heart. He's a Savior. He's a Redeemer. He's a lover himself.
Amen.
And my Jesus is the greatest thing in this world. And if you want to become closer to Him, the answer is pray, read your Bible, of course. But when you come to church, you sit there in that little half hour silence. Now, I'm not famous for coming in early. I have a tendency to stay away and come in at the right minute. I don't do that because I'm lazy and I can't watch a clock. I do that because if I come in, then there's a lot of fellowship. My mind gets disturbed, so I stay out. Come in at the last moment. A few minutes don't really rattle me that much. I try to keep my mind on the Lord, what I'm doing. You sit down and you take the Word and you just, you know how it is, you start reading. Now you can look at it in this way. That as you're studying the Word of God and you're praying and you're seeking the face of God, you say, Lord Jesus, there's a need in my life today. God, I need You to help me. Now, you know what channel to look for God to give you the answer to what you're looking for. Because now you know that there's preachers that are God called to help you. You start pulling on the Holy Ghost. Lord, lead my pastor to preach to me what I need.
Amen.
Help that man of God. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's weary. Oh God, strengthen him, Lord. Hold his hands up. The devil might be fighting him in the back room. Might be trying to discourage him. But oh Jesus, hold up your revenger. If there's evil that must be dealt with, God, You deal with it, even if it's in my life.
Amen.
But if there's good, give us that too, Lord.
Amen.
Say what you want to, Van Buren. You Arkansas folk, you listen to me real carefully. Say what you want about tonight. But I believe with all of my heart, if you'll take this message and apply it to your lives, you will see a revolution go through Arkansas like you've never seen in all of your life.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you what some of your problems are sitting here tonight. Some of you don't have nearly the respect for preachers that you need to have. That's one reason I'm preaching this.
Amen.
Because I know enough about some of y'all that some of y'all would just rather listen to so-and-so than so-and-so. You've got respect to persons, and that is sin.
Right. Amen.
Right. You want a revival? Get all this trash out of your life. Get all this bitterness and all this respect to persons. Oh, this guy over this guy. No, no. It's all of us on one level playing field. Oh, I've been trying to stop for 20 minutes, and every time I keep going, the Holy Ghost just keeps holding me. God, help us. Get all this out of your heart, children. Get all this out of your heart. Don't have respect to persons. Don't place this man over this man. Put it all here on this Constitution.
Amen.
And say, Lamb of God, You see our leaders. We may not agree with everything we see, but if we'll have respect for the office that God's give to them, God will bless you for having respect for His man. I can tell already there's some that don't like that, but I'm going to let you know in the presence of God, whether you like it or whether you don't, one of these days He's going to ask you, why did you have such an attitude against that kind of preaching? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we so thank You tonight, Father, for Your Word. Lord, as we kind of joked last night a little bit about the people sitting up there listening to that preacher, he just went on and on. They turned from amen to let my people go. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be like that Pharaoh and just hold him and hold him, but God, so many important things were said tonight. God, things that I know this group needs to hear. Not just this home group, but the visitors as well. Each one of us, Lord, we need to open our hearts to hear what's being said. Because, Lamb of God, if there's one thing that Satan has tried to do, that's attack God's people.
Yes.
Lord, Satan is on his job today attacking families, attacking preachers, attacking churches. Lord, if we can only recognize it's the devil doing that. And Lord God, I believe we can have more unity, better unity of the Spirit.
Yes.
Father, what about some of the people that are gathered here tomorrow morning to their local churches? Lord, if they hear what I preach tonight and go in with the same old attitude, don't they realize, Lord, that they go in there with the same old attitude after hearing what they've heard tonight, that you're going to hold them accountable for that attitude from here on out. God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I realize there's people in here that's receptive to what I said too. I believe that as well. But Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't want to just spend a lot of time on maybe the negative part, but there is a positive. There are people, there are children here tonight that love you and believe you and have confidence in servants of God. Lord, thank God for those people. But Lord, there might be some in here tonight that would be honest enough to say they haven't had the respect that they ought to for God's servants. Lord Jesus, they're hindering themselves from becoming mature children of God. So I pray tonight you to help them. That you give them revelation and wisdom. To know that anything and everything that I've said from this platform tonight, I've done so at the divine inspiration. Not to try to get back or get even or square up the, oh my. No, that's not why things are said. Not to be harsh, but to tell the truth. I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord. Oh, great guiding Father, take us, your children, by your hand. Lead us, my Lord. Lead us, oh God. If we stumble, pick us up. If our feet go wayward, keep our path straight. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, if our hearts get cold, formal, give us a protoplasmic stimulation if we need it. Lord God, if we get attitude, sit down and deal with us. Lord, deal with us as sons. Don't let us go on our own stubborn ways. Go out into a hell out yonder where there ain't no salvation or help. But give us your favor, Lord. Give us your strength. Oh God, let us just crawl up underneath your heart tonight. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Now, in the seriousness of what I've preached tonight, I'm going to ask you to trust me. And I'm going to ask for some of you here in this building tonight that will be honest before the Lord. I give you my word here on the platform. You that will raise your hands at this request, I promise I will not repeat what I see to anybody else. And nobody please looking around. Everybody with their heads bowed. But if you'd be willing tonight to raise your hand before the Lord, and I give you my word, what I see here this night, what I witness, I will keep it in my heart. I won't even speak it to my own wife. Only me and the Lord will know it. But will you raise your hand tonight and say, Brother Ben, I want to declare before the Lord and before you as God's servant that you were preaching to me tonight about my attitude toward preachers. And I want to be right with God. Now, I'm not even going to make an acknowledgement that there's any hands up, yay or nay. I'm just going to let you raise them because I realize that there's a lot deeper of something going on. And I want you to be able to keep your confidence and your discretion tonight. Would you be willing to say, Brother Ben, I've got an attitude. I've got attitude toward preachers or toward a certain preacher, toward a certain church. And I want my heart to be right before Him. I want to crawl up underneath His heart. Hallelujah. I feel like speaking in unknown tongues. Glory to God. I just want to make known to the Lord tonight, God, I want your help. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Ben, I just want to be right with the Lord. I just want to make this right tonight. I want to clean out all these channels and get this out of my life. I've been critical. I've been bitter. I've been harsh. I've held things in my heart for years maybe. But tonight I want to get all this out of my heart. Feel free to bring your hand to the Lord now. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, you who see all, you witness tonight between me and thee, and these your children, what's taking place in this place tonight. And Heavenly Father, God, as I offer this prayer for this congregation, I pray that the Spirit of God with His all-seeing eye will perform miracles here tonight. Hallelujah. Oh God, even by the slightest bit of honesty, The Holy Spirit's heart is moved towards you. Lord God, your prophet preaches to us 1963. He cares, do you care? Brother Ray makes a striking statement. If you don't care, God can't care. So Lamb of God, at the bidding, the request tonight of a servant of the Lord, of which I believe I am. I'm called by you, I believe, to be the man that I am. I don't mean to say things in a way that would be Brother Ben, but I say them as I believe I'm led by your Spirit. Lord God, as the children have sat here tonight, Lord, they've acknowledged truth in their heart. And Lord Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit would so move upon each one of them tonight that you would perform great miracles in this building tonight, that you would go down through every one of those clogged up channels, that you would move aside any bitterness, any hatred, any emulation, any strife. Oh God, that you would clean out the heart of your children toward preachers. And Lord God, may I say to you, with my hands raised, if I as a preacher, if I've got anything against the sheep, if I've got anything against people, Lord, if I've lost the feeling for them, if I've lost my enthusiasm for the Word and for caring for them and for working for them, laboring that I might bring them the truth, no matter if it takes the hide off me, if I lose popularity and make enemies all over the world, oh God, if I've lost that something in my heart, I bring my heart before you tonight, Lord. As a gospel preacher, I ask you, Lord, to keep me aflame with the feeling of the people, Lord. As it was with Brother Branham, as it was with Moses, and they lost the feeling of their people. Oh God, don't let that be said of us servants of God tonight, of the men of God in this building tonight, that we would lose our feeling for the lives of your children. God help us, we pray. Lord, if there's ever been a group of people on the face of this planet that have a right to be bitter as message people, we've been put through so much turmoil, so much trash and nonsense. God, it would turn us cold if you don't help us. So I pray, Lord God, help us tonight. Help us, my Father. Take us by your hand. Lead us, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Where he leads me, I will follow. Let's just raise our hands to him now. Let's give him praise.
He leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the garden.
That's where you lay down self-will.
I'll go with him through the garden.
Amen.
I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, with him.
I give him a little worship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise
you, Lord Jesus.
You're worthy.
Praise you, Lord God. Father, we thank you.
Thank you for your
word. We give you praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lamb of God. We love you, Lord Jesus. As we crawl up underneath your heart tonight, we love you, Lord. Lord God, just let your bleeding heart beat all over us. Let your blood just cover every sin, every stain, every wrong. Oh God, we're like your little children, Lord. We need your help. Oh God, hallelujah. We love you tonight, my Father. We love you tonight, my Savior. We love you, Lamb of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, children, just give him a little bit of love. Give him a little bit of worship tonight. He's worthy of it. Oh my. Brother Branham said, Brooklyn, New York, he's begging, longing. Let's not make him beg tonight. Let's not make him beg and long for our worship. Let's not leave tonight, Jesus, begging, oh, I wish you to give me more. I wish you to give me more adoration, more love. Let's give it to him what he wants tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. You might have to open up your mouth now. You might have to give him praise out of your lips. But don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. His presence ain't going to hurt you. He's like daddy come down to wrap his arms around you. Oh, glory. Amen. To show you love. To show you kindness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, as we rock in your bosom. Nurse us, great El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Let us nurse from the breast of El Shaddai tonight. Oh, God, let us draw strength from thy great breast. Hallelujah. Lord, as my little baby Jessica laid there a few nights ago, Lord, just a little old thing, she couldn't even learn how to latch. Oh, my, mama would work with her, and a little blind, she'd forget it. Oh, Jesus, maybe there's some children tonight that haven't learned how to latch on just right. Maybe, God, they go to latch on, but they forget how to get in there and nurse. Oh, great Father, you don't leave us in that condition. But Sam would reach down, take that little baby arm and do like a little airplane motion. She would wiggle its little cheek. What was she doing? Stimulating its worship. Stimulating its draw. Hallelujah! Oh God, stimulate our hearts tonight. Stimulate us, Lord, if we've forgotten how to worship, how to latch on. Oh God, may the Holy Ghost stimulate us tonight, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We'll die if we don't latch. Help us, Lord God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Through the judgment, I'll go with
him. Through the judgment,
I'll go with
him. With
can you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
I got in the pulpit for 2 hours and 4 minutes. Singing and everything, 2 hours, 4 minutes. First time Brother Prater and Brother Tony came to Jesus, 2.5 hours. I drove out there, I preached 45 minutes. I've made it up to you brothers tonight. Surely you know, I wouldn't take up your time like this unless the Lord met me today and told me, take some time and talk to him.
Amen.
I hope you understand that.
Amen.
Brother Bram said you shouldn't take up the people's time unless there's a reason to do it.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart, everything I've said to you has been led by his hand.
Amen.
Matter of fact, today, when you all got done with the service, I just excused myself out because in the last few minutes, the Lord just started dealing with my heart. You need to go back. I got some things I need to talk to you about. When I got back there and got to studying, God knows my heart. I didn't a bit more know what direction I was going to try to go than nothing in the world. I had 15 different directions I could take. Along about 2 o'clock or so, the Holy Spirit just moved right into the room real sweetly. And he just opened up the channels ever so quietly. And I thought, I'm not even going to make an expression, because if the devil gets a hold of this, he'll turn them every way but loose. I just got real quiet and kept studying, kept studying, kept studying. This thing would come, this thing would come, this thing would come. Oh my. I don't mind telling you, I've heard him talk many times behind the platform. But tonight, it has been richer and deeper than anything I've ever heard him say in all the years I've preached. I believe that God met us tonight.
Amen.
And he met us in the form of the Word.
Amen.
This time last year, people were laying out all over the Spirit, shouting, speaking in tongues. But this year, it's been a different anointing.
Amen.
He come by the way of the Word. Oh, I love the other two. If that's appropriate and we need it, then I want that too.
Amen.
But if he wants to come this way,
amen,
that's what we're buckling in and settling
amen
in for too.
Amen.
That's why I say, friends, whatever he wants, laying on of hands, casting out devils, speaking the word, casting a shadow, whatever he wants. I'm not about to be
amen
dumb enough to say do it this way and not this way. Whatever he wants, that's what I want.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, friends.
Amen.
Whatever he wants, that's what we want. God bless you, Brother Chokes. I know you got a long way home tonight. May God give you and sister some traveling mercies tonight. Friends, we love you, each one. May the Lord bless you. Till I see you tomorrow morning, and those that I won't get to see tomorrow morning, the Lord bless you till we meet again. I give you to your pastor tonight. We love you, friends.
Yeah, we've heard something tonight, didn't we?
Amen.
I want to just make sure that we go away tonight having received the fullness of what the Lord is in our way. You know, sometimes we get sick in body, and we'll wait a day or so and hope it'll go away. And sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And after a while, we realize we've got to do something. I'm talking about in the natural. So we go to the doctor. In order for that doctor to help you, first he has to examine you.
Yeah.
We've been examined. Then he has to give you diagnosis. From that examination, he tells you what's wrong. Right? But the very next thing before he can help you is you have to accept that diagnosis before he can help you. You have to accept that, and you have to then accept his treatment for that problem. I believe the Lord has given us all those things tonight that I just mentioned. So a lot of times when we're sick in body, a lot of times it's something we've done to cause it.
Right.
And sometimes in that diagnosis, that doctor, he's not just going to say, well, you've got this. But sometimes he's going to have to come back and tell you, you've got to change.
Right. That's
because good. I can help you here, but you know what? You're going to go right back.
That's good.
And come back with the same thing 3 months from now or however long it is, because you've got to change something.
Amen.
So I'm trying to let the Holy Spirit labor just for a moment. I want the young people and all across the building to pay real close attention. God has identified things in our lives all across the building, whether it be with the attitude toward ministry or whatever. But I'm asking you tonight to be honest to yourself and with God. I'm not asking you to admit something to anybody else, but just in your heart, be honest with yourself and with God. And if you know tonight the Holy Spirit has put his finger on a problem that you have, a lifestyle or something that you do, that you know the Holy Spirit has pointed out to you that this is a source of a problem. See, I don't like having pain. I don't like being upset. You know?
Sure.
So why would I go about doing something willingly that would cause pain and cause me to be upset? You know, you see some people today, there's so much drama in people's lives. They're constantly fighting. It's like you said, some people are addicted to arguing.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, if you don't like being in a bad mood, why do things that's going to cause you to be in a bad mood? You know what I'm saying?
Good.
And so if we have things in our life that is that we're not happy with, there's a reason.
Yeah.
And so the great physician can give you a diagnosis tonight as to what's wrong. So if you know that he has put his finger on something tonight, and you realize, you know what, that's true. There's attitudes I have, there's things that I do, things that I say, whatever it may be. And I know it's not right. And I know that I wind out suffering, and those around me wind up suffering because of this. If we find out, you know, when I mentioned we get sick, you'll get sick and you'll hope it's going to go away, and rest is good for you. So you go to bed and you're thinking, well, I'll rest and then tomorrow I'll get up and I'll feel better. And maybe perhaps you do just for a little bit, but then it goes right back to that same pain you were having the day before, but this time worse. And you'll find out that after a little while, your default mode that you go to is bringing this pain. It's the pain.
Yep.
It's a default. It becomes your default mode. Well, there's many areas of our life where we have a default mode that we go to that isn't right. And it brings a constant source of pain. So those things we have to deal with. And I'm just asking tonight that if you know that the Lord has brought something to your attention, to be honest with yourself and be honest with Him. And say, but because you've got to say to that physician, you've got to say, you know what? I accept your diagnosis. And I ask for you to bring the remedy. Because you can't do it yourself. And I want to tell you, young and old, you will not receive the healing that you need in your walk if you don't accept that diagnosis and ask for Him to fix it. And, right. and just allow Him to come into your life.
Right.
Allow His instructions there in His doctor's office. Allow those instructions to follow you home and for you to go home and change what you do so that you don't have to go back and see that doctor again. You see what I'm saying? So the Lord has delivered to us tonight the instructions. We must take these things home with us. We must say, I accept this diagnosis. I accept the treatment plan that you're giving me. And now I'm going to go home and I'm going to put that treatment plan into action.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Just in your own heart. Just bow your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, this is right. And I know I can't help myself. And I know that I've got patterns that are in my life that I know the ministry's already put His finger on, but especially tonight, that is bringing bad things in my life. I accept this diagnosis tonight, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. I recognize this is what's wrong, and I'm committing it to You now, and I'm asking You to give me this treatment plan and let me take it home. Give me the grace to take it home and for my life to be changed according to Your plan. Just be honest with Him, because you will not be fixed any other way except that you accept the instructions of your great physician tonight. Amen. I appreciate what God has given us tonight. I think it touched all of us all across the room. I don't know, but you know how when the Holy Spirit moves and works, you just know how it is. And so I noticed today when Brother Ben left, right after our breakfast and the meeting we had at breakfast, I felt like something was going on there. And I know in his humble way, he said, well, he had been feeling that. And I know that. But you know, I suspected that maybe that there was something going on there. So I appreciate what God has sent. And those in your local ministry, I think if you'll go back and you'll look over weeks and months of local ministry, you'll see that the Lord, again, speaking tonight, bringing confirmation to you of what you've been being dealt with. So we thank the Lord for His goodness. Amen. You love Him?
Amen.
He's always right.
Yes, he is.
Brother Ben's not always right. I'm not always right. Nope. But He's always right. Amen. And we'll just listen to Him.
Amen.
You know, I've said it many times. You can spend your whole life trying to circumvent one little something that's the Word of God, and you'll have a lifetime of misery. Brother Bram said, you got to go right back to where that bullet left the gun.
Yeah.
If you want to get on target, you got to go right back to where it got off. And you can spend your entire life running from one thing that God put His finger on and you wouldn't submit to Him.
Yeah.
But the best thing to do is go right back there.
Hey.
Right to that spot.
Hey.
And you'll go away a different person.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord. Brother, you have a song. Let's just worship again for just a moment. I'm not going to keep you alone.
I feel the time.
brain's going to take the diagnosis holding you tonight. Amen. And take that diagnosis and meet head on these traditions and these repetitive things in our life, these besetting things in our life that is causing troubles. How many's going to do that? Amen. Now, rest assured, you have to work to break habits. You have to meet that thing head on and say, I'm not doing this, because you know what? Those same evil spirits that try to move on you and cause you to be whatever it is, a gossip or whatever it might be, you've got to say no to those things, because they will come see you. They will come expecting to take hold in your tabernacle once again, and you've got to look them in the eye with the word of God and say no more. This body, this tabernacle, these lips, these eyes, these ears, your eyes, your ears, they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. No other spirits should be inhabiting our bodies.
That's right.
Right? No other one.
Amen.
Only Him.
That's right.
He deserves it. He deserves that we not surrender ourselves, the womb of our heart, to any other seed than the Word of God. Amen. That's the pathway I want to draw, right? And I know that's the way it is with you. So God bless you. We love each one of you. And I want to thank you for being with us tonight. Walking in this world, in this hour, is pretty tough. We need one another.
Amen.
All the differences, all the things, all that needs to go to the side, we need one another. Because I want you to look around the room. These are people you're going to spend eternity with. Let's get it ready now.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get ready now.
Amen.
Because death does not change us except as our dwelling place. And I want to fall in love with you now, just like I will be there.
Amen.
So I'll be there with you.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I don't do it now, I won't be there with you.
Right.
See what I'm saying? We've got to come to it here now.
Amen.
And I don't know, it might take this terrible squeeze that we know that's moving through the land. That's probably what it'll take to finally get us right where we need to. But saints, that's where we got to go. That's where we got to go. Amen. To love one another. Because we know that the time probably will come when we'll be so happy just to meet with one brother or one sister just for a 5-minute period. What it's coming to. It's always been a straight, narrow, persecuted way, and we've not known what that's like too much. But you know what? It's a glorious way.